Listen, bitch, welcome to the show. I am Brandon Lynette, your favorite Jesus loving, F-bomb dropping, breakthrough slinging coach who is not here to coddle your excuses. I am a wife, a mom, a zookeeper, a mindset mentor, and a walking permission slip to be fully human while still chasing your purpose. If you're tired of that watered down healing, if you're seeing through the hustle cults and you're overexhausted with all of the fake positivity, you're absolutely in the right place because around here, like, we are done performing for our healing. Okay. We do that real life resurrection in messy kitchens, mid-snot cries, or between reps in your garage. Okay. Or maybe the gym, whatever you do. This podcast is your slap in the face to remember who the fuck you are, to remember why you're still here. And absolutely to remind you how deeply that you're loved, even on your worst day. Okay. Today's episode, we're diving into the sacred chaos of healing, the kind of healing that looks stupid or dramatic on the outside, but it's holy and necessary on the inside. You know what I'm talking about. Okay. The tears over the wrong sauce, the freak out in the closet, the full body shutdown because someone asked you to make one more damn decision. Okay. This episode is called The Sauce Was Never About the Sauce. We're recognizing emotional intelligence in your pettiest spirals. Let's unpack how to stop shaming your mess and start seeing those what the fuck moments as portals to the real self-awareness. Okay. Listen, if you've ever thought, why am I like this? While also holding it down for your family, for your calling, and your nervous system, you are exactly the kind of miracle this world needs. Okay. I want you to grab your matcha green tea, pop a patch, and take a breath. Let's get all the way real. Okay. I cried in the drive-thru and I still picked the wrong sauce. This is your master class. Emotional intelligence isn't always journaling by candlelight. Sometimes it's holding back a breakdown while you're ordering that Chick-fil-A sauce. Then realizing what you really needed was someone to ask if you're okay, but also give me my sweet sriracha sauce. Okay. So, what is this really about? It's that emotional decision fatigue, also known as why your brain short circuits at basic tasks during your healing journey. Okay. We're going to talk about how healing can look dumb or dramatic and still be real. And then I want to help you recognize that emotional intelligence in the tiny WTF moments, really. We're going to give you permission to be a holy mess without assigning shame to it. So before we actually dive in, I want to ask you something real. How long have you been carrying the tension that doesn't belong to you? How long have you been surviving, not because you're weak, but because your body doesn't remember what peace actually feels like? I want to introduce something to you that has changed everything for me. Okay. It's called the Peace Patch. And no, it is not another supplement. It is not a pill. And it's not some overhyped, overpriced snake oil. Okay. This is an ingredient-free, drug-free, zero bullshit vibrotactile patch. Okay. It's braille for your brain. I don't know how else to word it. Our body responds to stimuli all the time, constantly with your five senses, and this is no different. So you take this braille, like this masterman, his name is Jay, and I just am in awe of how incredibly brilliant he is. He's told Big Pharma to fuck off more than once, okay? It's he's so incredibly intelligent. So he creates this pattern to code it with those frequencies that are going to stimulate your brain, your nervous system, that is going to remember the calm, the part of you that remembers safety, that remembers God didn't design you to live in a cortisol coma. Okay. You don't even need to believe in it for it to work. That's it. It's not hype. You just wear it. It does what trauma and tension tried to undo, and it gently rewires the pathways that are going to say, you know, I'm not safe. I have to fight. I have to hold it all together. When you put that peace patch on your skin, your body starts believing again. It's, I'm okay. I'm safe now. I can breathe. And it's not mindset fluff. It's neuroscience. It's relief. It's regulation that you can feel. I have a lot of friends that are, you know, that I met in when I was in the weight loss industry, when I was working for a company called Truvvi. I actually do still take some of their products. I'm on SmartShip. I still have some great customers, but the products didn't work for me. And so all my friends that I made connections with, they've moved on to different companies. And, you know, I see some of them starting their own and I get excited. And I'm like, I really want to support them. So I buy the products and my heart is broken every single time because I can't perform the bullshit anymore. Like, my nervous system cannot handle being wrecked and all of these fucking capsules. Okay. Everything I've tried in the past 6 months wrecks my nervous system. And yesterday was nothing short of that. I put some in yesterday and I'm like, man, my nervous system is jacked. Like, I don't like that feeling. You know, it's overstimulated, just fight or flight. I don't like that feeling. You know what I did yesterday? I put on a peace patch and that was it. I was brought back down. Okay. So it's there. It's real. It is not fluff. If you're listening to this right now thinking, God, I just want one day without feeling on edge, babe, as much as I preach about it, you don't need another journal prompt. You need peace. You guys can grab it right now using the show notes, link in the show notes, or just send me a DM and say, I need peace, and I'll make sure that you get what you need. Because let's be real, you've lived long enough in survival. Let's make calm your new baseline. Okay. You deserve to live in a body that doesn't feel like a battlefield. So let's patch the nervous system back to wholeness, babe. And you know, I'm not about that surface level bullshit, no self-care tips from Pinterest, just the real deal truth about why your brain short circuits over stupid stuff, like picking a sauce in the drive-thru, right? Or forgetting to order it, or texting someone back, or even deciding if you want to shower. I think that was my toughest decision this morning. Do I want to shower? It's a big house cleaning day. I don't think so, right? Why you have emotional decision fatigue, and I'm going to explain to you, it's not because you're broken, right? I feel like a broken record saying that, honestly, because I say this, I'm pretty sure, in every episode. But I know that thought has haunted me. Like, that was a story I told myself. I'm just broken. I'm not the same as everybody else. I'm different. You're not bad at life, okay? You're carrying too many invisible tabs open in your mind, and they're all emotionally charged. Like, you're trying to make micro decisions in the middle of a nervous system that's not sure if you're safe or under siege. Healing, that is not some passive Sunday afternoon in silk sheets experience, okay? It's metabolically expensive. It's like running 8 apps on a 3% battery and still expecting your phone to open Instagram, okay? It won't. It's fried, and so are you. What is actually happening? Your brain's filter is overloaded. Every decision you make takes energy. And when you're in healing mode, your subconscious is constantly sorting through those questions. Am I safe? Am I being abandoned? What does this choice mean about me? What if I get it wrong and regret it? You're not just choosing a salad dressing, right? You're running a trauma analysis in the background every single time. Healing activates that survival mode reflex. Even if you're not in an emergency, your brain is thinking something is off. So it does what it always does. It reroutes the blood flow from your prefrontal cortex. This is like your logic center, to your amygdala, which is the danger zone. That means you become amazing at panic, but you suck balls at small decisions. Okay. These shame loops will hijack your executive function. So every time you're thinking, why can't I just do this? You activate shame. And shame neurologically is going to hit the same circuits as physical pain. So now your brain's in a cycle of try, fail, shame, fear, freeze, try again, still nothing, self-blame, collapse. And then there's the big fat fuck my life. Okay. Your capacity didn't disappear, it just got locked inside of a shutdown loop. And how do you actually heal this? Okay. I'm going to say it's possible because I feel like I spent the past like 3 months in this. What the fuck is happening? You know, the loop, it had me. But I want to walk you through this like we're here, okay? I'm looking you dead in the eye, and I'm going to tell you the truth that your soul already knows. You have to stop gaslighting your own nervous system. When you are tired, overstimulated, indecisive, believe yourself. Don't say I'm just being dramatic. Say my brain is fucking tired from feeling too much, and I honor that. Validation is not weakness, it is regulation. Regulation. You have to write down the unmade decisions, not the big dramatic ones, the tiny crap that clogs your brain. Like, do I text her back? Am I going to Target today? Should I post that reel? Do I wash my hair or just wear a hat? Make a physical list called open tabs. And this is new to me, but it's working. Every time your brain wants to rehearse a dumb decision for the 900th time, dump it here. You're instantly going to create space between feeling and acting. Give your body something certain. When your emotions are loud, your body needs, you know, anchor points. So give it the non-negotiables. Wake up, open the curtains, step outside barefoot, drink the water, put on the patch, take your supplements, and pray out loud if you have to. Get in the book. Those are safety loops. And the more your body experiences certainty, the less your brain freaks out over minor choices. Okay. And I absolutely am that person that I feel caged in when I start to think that I have to have a schedule or anything that boxes me in. But I've done this so gently lately that is actually working for me. Okay. I've worked with this AI companion. I've created some incredible systems that are actually working for me. I'm not going to keep it to myself either. So I'll be talking about that next week for sure. But you got to name what the sauce actually symbolizes. Okay. When you freak out and you look at the end bottom of your Chick-fil-A bag, you realize you don't have what you really wanted. And I mean, let's not lie to ourselves. Okay. Chick-fil-A is amazing, but the sauce is what makes it, right? Like it's the frosting on the cupcake. Chicken is just chicken, but the sauce is the magic, right? But the truth is, you're not crying because they forgot your sauce. You're crying because you never feel like you get what you actually want. I know you just got the chills there. You're not mad because you can't decide. You're mad because every decision feels like a test and you're exhausted from being graded. So say it out loud. I'm grieving the fact that I have to hold so much, and then say it out loud. I give myself permission to pause without guilt. You are not fucking lazy. You're overloaded and you never, ever get to feel safe enough to let it go. Let someone else carry the next decision. If you're always the one who holds that emotional clipboard, you're going to resent even having to choose a fucking TV show. Ask God to hold the next decision or ask someone you trust to make the dumb call. There are times that I will literally tell my husband, I can't. Like, you have to make the decisions. I don't even ask me. I am overdone. Even if it's just tell me what to eat or pick the podcast or choose the restaurant, okay? It's not weakness, it's co-regulation. It trains your body to know that you don't have to carry it all. You short circuit not because you're weak, but because you've been too strong too long in silence. And everybody tries to make this some holy spiritual thing saying God gives his toughest battles to his strongest warriors. Bullshit. He didn't bring you here to suffer. Okay? And you know how I know? Because I read the book. You don't have to be strong. Healing takes power, okay? And right now, your nervous system is begging for rest, rhythm, and someone to tell you it's okay to just be. It's okay to just be. It's okay to just be. You are not failing. You are healing and you are human and you are so seen. Like I've never seen. I've seen you guys. And there is something that has just happened over the past couple of months where I see you. I feel like I'm sitting right here with you. Okay. I want to get into the heart of that beautiful, messy, crying in a parking lot, but spiritually evolving kind of healing. Okay. Why does our healing look so dumb and dramatic sometimes? It's a part that nobody wants to admit. It's the ugly crying on the floor, the rage text deleting. I literally did that last night. Okay. It's buying eight versions of the same journal season, and it matters. This is what's going on. You were taught to believe that real transformation should look graceful. Yoga retreats, tidy mantras, or that bullshit I once bought into, those crystal grids under a full moon. Bullshit. That's not real. That's not God. That's not healing. Your healing, it looks like screaming into a pillow. Okay. Rage cleaning your kitchen, canceling on people you love because you can't people anymore. Then watching Lifetime Christmas movie reruns while questioning your entire life. Here is the kicker. It feels small. It looks ridiculous, and it isn't. Healing does not perform, it purges. You are not in a TED talk, babe. You're in a transformation tunnel. It's not supposed to look impressive. It's supposed to get the infection out, just like detoxing. Healing will make you feel worse before it clears. I wish I had a GoPro to show you where I've been for the past few months, okay? Crawled inside myself, just going through the healing. And sometimes that looks like tears over a TikTok, right? And sometimes it's rage at your husband for breathing too loud, you know? It looks dramatic because emotions are finally safe to be loud. You've spent years stuffing it all down to be palatable. So now, when your system gets permission to feel, it goes big. And that is not regression, okay? I learned this the hard way. I went through it for you. It is not regression. Please understand that is release. Your body is recalibrating what safe expression even feels like. It's like your soul learning how to walk again after being in a full body cast. You're new now. It's a new day. The dumb, dramatic moments are the real breakthrough. So you've probably had more growth in the moment you sobbed over not being invited to something you thought you cared about than you did reading that 300-page trauma book. Why? Because embodiment is louder than education. The irrational responses are clues. The emotional outburst, that's information. The day you spiraled over the text they didn't send, that was your inner child screaming, "I just want to feel chosen." You weren't being dramatic, you're being honest. So how do you grow through this? We don't want to survive the cringe. We want to integrate it. Okay. You've got to name the pattern without shaming the response. Instead of telling yourself, "Oh, I was so dramatic today," say, "Today my nervous system chose intensity to be seen." That's it. That small reframe right there stops the shame spiral and it starts to build that self-trust. Give the dumb moment a sacred meaning. What were you really needing in the meltdown? If you flipped over your partner not doing the dishes, were you really grieving how unsupported you feel in life? If you shut down because someone didn't text you back, were you actually unraveling from being the one who chooses and chases love? Write this down, speak it out, and pray it raw. We're taking shit out on other people when it's just us needing to decide what do we need to be seen. Start using the phrase, "This is part of my practice," not as an excuse, but as an anchor of dignity. Like, me crying in the Chick-fil-A parking lot is part of my practice. Ghosting texts is a part of my boundaries practice. Buying the overpriced candle because it smells like childhood is part of my sensory regulation practice. And if it sounds dramatic, good, because you're reclaiming your right to feel without a filter. Let God meet you in the ridiculous, even in the tears over Chick-fil-A sauce, even in the closet where you're hiding from your kids, even on the 13th episode of the Netflix binge that started as self-care and turned into identity crisis. God is not waiting for you to be composed. He's choosing you in the chaos, the couch, the crusty tears. Say it out loud. Even this counts. Even this is healing. And then tell someone the real version of what happened. Don't edit it to sound noble. Call a friend or tell your journal. I cried today because I thought someone adorned my text. I cried today because I thought someone ignored my text. Made me feel like I wasn't chosen. So let's have the come to Jesus moment about this, okay? Soul to soul. No sprinkles on this because I know you've had these moments. You're crying in the shower like it's a music video, but you low-key know the real reason is because someone left you on read. You snapped at your kid for chewing too loud and then spiraled for an hour wondering if you're emotionally stunted. You did all your self-care practices but still ended up screaming at the dog because your genes don't feel right. You've had that voice in your head say, "This is dumb. I'm being ridiculous. This isn't healing." And I'm here to tell you, babe, this is exactly where healing happens. It's gonna feel dramatic because your body is finally safe enough to feel the stuff you used to suppress. When you were in survivor mode, you didn't have time to cry over spilled milk. You were too busy being strong. Now that your nervous system is softening, the floodgates open, and what pours out isn't always poetic. Sometimes it's chaotic. Sometimes it's petty. Sometimes it's mascara streaks and snapping at your husband because he bought the wrong, shit for the fridge, right? That's not regression. That's reprocessing. You're emotionally puking out what you choked down years ago. Grief doesn't wear a suit. It wears sweatpants and eats Cheetos at 2 a.m. You're not always going to cry in the appropriate places. Sometimes grief waits until you're in the middle of Walgreens holding a razor that reminds you of someone. Sometimes anger surfaces when the toddler spills juice, but it's really just how no one ever cleans up after you. It looks irrational. It feels embarrassing, but it's real. It is your heart saying, "I still need to be witnessed here," because you're shedding false selves and it's messy to let go of the masks. When you stop performing for love or validation or safety, you get safety, you get weird, you get loud, you get real. And that's the decomposition phase of transformation. Your polished mask, it's rotting off. The performance is dying. And the in-between version, yeah, that's the bitch that's crying over dumb shit, ghost people, and has the identity crisis, over her matcha green tea. But that, like, you're closer to the truth than you've ever been in those moments. So how do you really grow through this? You have to narrate the deeper truth. Don't just say, "I had a meltdown." Say it. "I had a release. It looked dramatic, but it was sacred. I was grieving being ignored. I was purging resentment. I was needing to be seen." We're not hiding anymore. You're allowed to narrate your own healing in real time. Keep a log, a healing log that's titled "Dumb but Real." Like, make it a thing. Start a note in your phone. That's what I did. Dumb things I cried about that were actually holy, right? They ate the leftovers I was saving, so that triggers scarcity and neglect. Good morning text. Not getting it triggers abandonment, right? Your jeans are too tight, spiraled because you thought you had to earn being seen. This does two things. It validates your real emotions hiding under the surface bullshit triggers, and it helps your brain de-shame your healing process. Let the meltdown finish. Don't interrupt it with shame. Let it suck. Let it be dramatic. Cry ugly. Slam the car door if you need to, and then return to the truth. That's it. We don't stay there, bitch. Okay. To return to the truth and say it out loud. It was a storm. It moved through me. I'm still loved. I'm safe. I'm still whole. Your breakdown isn't the end. It's the tunnel, and you're just walking through it. This might sound stupid. Tell people that. It might sound stupid, but tell them what you're experiencing, and you'll be shocked at how many people are going to say, "Girl, me too." That's how the shame dies in the light. And you don't have, if you don't have that person right now, like I'm here to be that voice until you do. Okay. Because I'm telling you right now, it's okay. It wasn't stupid. You were overwhelmed. You matter even when you're a puddle. You have to talk to God like you're just like you guys are hot mess besties. You don't need a King James version of your breakdown. Okay. God, I know I'm acting a fool right now. I know I'm fucking up. I don't know how to hold all this. I am so tired of holding it all together. Can you please just sit with me while I fall apart? You know how many times I've cried in that moment of just being able to hand him all of that? He doesn't need your composure. He needs my truth. He can't shape me into who I'm meant to be until I break completely down. Healing isn't a fucking highlight reel. It is a series of quiet choices to stay with yourself when it's awkward or ugly or dramatic or confusing. And growing through it means saying, I don't understand all this, but I'm staying anyway. I'm not abandoning myself this time. That's not dumb. Listen, bitch, that's devotion. That's devotion. It's not always knowing the why behind your feelings. It's noticing what the hell is going on while you're spiraling instead of after the fact. It's catching yourself mid-pattern and saying, okay, this wasn't about the dishes, right? It's not being perfectly regulated. It's realizing I'm being avoidant right now. I'm overreacting because I feel invisible. That triggered my rejection wound. I'm tempted to ghost this person, but maybe I'm just scared of asking for what I need. We go through that. Or those what the fuck moments. Like, why am I so annoyed that, my husband didn't ask me about my day? Like, you could just spiral or shut down, but emotional intelligence is going to say, hey, I'm not mad about the question. I'm mad about not feeling prioritized, right? It's not about him being rude. I'm not saying this. My husband does ask about my day all the time. Okay. I'm using an example, but this is about me not feeling emotionally pursued, right? You have to think about this. Instead of sulking in silence, just say the thing, communicate. I've told you guys relationships. I probably need to go through another relationship podcast here. But the truth is, like, you're not mad about the question, right? Don't sulk in silence. Just communicate. Say, hey, I know it's been a long day, but I've been craving some attention. Like, can you ask me about my day for 5 minutes? I'll feel more connected. That is not weak. That's a power move and emotional fluency. Some moment like, you watch these viral TikToks, someone gets ragey in Target when they don't have oat milk, right? The old us would silent rage. We would hold that, internal shame spiral. We would self-blame, make a random purchase, crash. But now that we're emotionally intelligent, like we want to be the woman that says, okay, I'm not actually mad at the oat milk. I'm mad that today felt like one more thing not going my way and I feel out of control. So you take a deep breath in the aisle. Say to yourself, this isn't about milk. I feel emotionally flooded. I'm going to leave with what I came for, drink water in the car, and text someone safe. That's healing in public. That's emotional authority in action. Or if you're like me, why the fuck did I just rewrite the same text or the same post 4 times? You're not indecisive. You're regulating your fear of being misunderstood or rejected. Emotional intelligence is going to say, I'm obsessing because I want to say the right thing to avoid a reaction. That means I'm overfunctioning to avoid conflict. You want a real life move for that? Pause. Text it once, and then I want you to say to yourself, if they misunderstood, I can clarify. I'm allowed to exist without performing perfection. Another what the fuck moment. Why did I start cleaning obsessively when I was just sad 2 minutes ago? It's a trauma reflex. You're trying to do something to not feel something. Emotional intelligence doesn't shame it. It says, oh, there it is. My body just flipped into the control mode. What am I afraid to feel right now? You know, the real life move is to pause mid-scrubbing and say, I'm hurting and I'm scared that if I stop moving, it'll consume me, right? But I could feel a little bit at a time. I'm safe now. This sentence will save you from 6 fucking weeks of burnout. Ask me how I know, bitch. Ask me how I know, okay? These tiny triggers are big clues. So every time you're asking yourself, what the fuck is wrong with me? Instead, I want you to say, what part of me is trying to be seen? Every meltdown, overreaction, numb shutdown, petty irritation, ghosting impulse, people-pleasing moments, all of this bullshit is actually an intelligent emotional response trying to protect you from shame or rejection or abandonment. Your job is not to fix it. You're here to recognize it. Mid what the fuck moment and make one conscious choice instead of letting the autopilot run the show. Okay? Next time you're mid what the fuck, pause and name it. Whoa, I'm spiraling over whatever dumb shit you're spiraling over. And that means something deeper is alive right now. Then ask yourself the real question, like, what is this moment actually about? It's not about needing love or safety or validation. Okay. Speak to yourself like someone you love, even if it's just, it makes sense. I feel this way. I've held a lot. When I start to get really pissed off and I start to try to beat myself up, I pause and if I can't name the things, if I'm so overwhelmed that I don't have the words, I just start saying, I love you, Brandon. I love you, Brandon. I love you, Brandon. And once that brings me down, I can think that, okay? But just choose one self-led response, not 15 journal prompts, not a 3-hour inner child meditation, just one move. You know, drink the water, take a breath, text a friend, say I'm overwhelmed out loud, walk away, cry without editing it. That one choice will disrupt the old pattern. And that's how we start to rewire our brains, not by thinking, but by choosing differently in the middle of the mess. Take the action. Need you to repeat this. My tiny what the fuck moments are sacred data. It's not evidence I'm failing. Okay. That's where you start to become emotionally intelligent. Just say go. Permission granted, but not like cute Pinterest permission. Okay. I want full scale Jesus and journals and crying in the kitchen permission. Because when you say, I want to stop assigning shame to my mess, what you're really saying is, I am ready to stop abandoning myself just because I don't look healed today. I don't look healed today. Name the mess without the moral judgment. Instead of, I'm a disaster, I'm backsliding, this is pathetic, I want you to say, this is wholly unraveling. I'm releasing more than I've ever allowed myself to feel. The moment isn't cute, but it's mine and it's real. This works because shame is a fastener, it attaches to what we name. But if you name your meltdown failure, your brain's going to file it under evidence I suck. But if you name it release or reset or processing, your brain files it under proof I'm evolving. So do the ritual, okay? Like find some kind of ritual, something you do on purpose when you're unraveling. Like have a meltdown hoodie, right? The one you ugly cry in. Make a playlist called Permission to Come Undone, right? Whatever music that looks like for you. Keep one journal that's not for healing, just for raw, unfiltered mess. Title it something like, you know, God's favorite train wreck or healing, but make it chaotic. This works because you're interrupting the shame loop. You give your spiral structure. It's not breaking down, it's making space. And then have a compassion cheat sheet for like when you're in the thick of it. Okay? It's a sticky note or a screenshot that you keep handy when you're couch bound, can't text back mode. Have 3 to 5 reminders that slap you across the face. Okay? This isn't failure, this is release. Your body is keeping you safe the only way it knows. Nothing about this moment makes you unworthy of love. Even this counts. Even this is sacred. You're not back at square one. You're just human. Shame thrives in isolation and forgetfulness. So this will work because when you can't remember who you are, you have to borrow that truth from your cheat sheet. And then give yourself a messy moment cap, you know, not to shut it down, just to protect your nervous system. Tell yourself, I can feel this for all of 20 minutes, and then I'll do one small grounding thing. And that could be like drinking water, you know, splashing water on your face, touching something soft, go outside barefoot, praying that raw line of like, God, I don't know how to do this, but please don't let go of me. This works because you're not bypassing your breakdown. You're building structure inside of it. And that tells your system, we're safe to feel and we're safe to come back. and tell one safe human the unfiltered version. Please be able to communicate this and say it out loud, okay? I cried in the closet and decided the devil lives in my laundry. I know it's dumb, but I also think I'm really just tired of holding it together. And warn people, like, I'm not here for you to fix me, just witness me. And this works because shame can't survive exposure. Telling the truth, even in chaos, that's how you sever shame's power. And if you don't have someone to tell yet, tell God, right? Raw, unedited. We do get scared that he's going to turn away. Be able to say that out loud and anchor yourself. 60 seconds of just anchoring yourself in the truth of what is the real emotion underneath. Did I stay with myself? And what can I bless, not shame, about how I handled it? Even if the answer is I survived it, I didn't numb it, I told the truth. Like, that's massive. You're building that spiritual muscle. You are allowed to be a messy masterpiece. You're not the problem because you cry or spiral or overthink or ghost people or rage clean your kitchen. You are the miracle because you're still showing up in the middle of all of that. You have a permission slip, okay? You have a permission slip. By the power of Jesus, green tea and chaos, give yourself divine permission to feel deeply, okay? Unravel loudly, recover slowly, rebuild beautifully without shame. Write that down, stick it on your fridge, read it on your worst days. And if anyone tries to shame your storm, you need to tell them, God made me in his image. And sometimes that image is crying on the floor while still being chosen. That's it. And I think it's so important to stay close to scripture, not just call on God and never spend time with him. But I want to say healing isn't just emotional, it's spiritual warfare. And the word is not just a motivational quote, okay? The Bible is literally a weapon, a mirror, a compass, a love letter, all at once. It has everything. Scriptures remind you who God is, so you remember who you are. So when trauma is telling you you're too much, the scripture is going to say you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, when shame says you're broken, scripture says you are a new creation in Christ. Anxiety is going to scream you're alone. God is going to tell you, I will never leave or forsake you. This is not poetry. It's identity reprogramming. When your soul's memory gets blurry, the scripture rewrites the truth in the ink that hell can't erase. There is not a self-help book ever in my life that has ever brought me back to center like the Bible has. This is finishing my second year of reading it. I have a yearly read it in a year schedule that I do share, and I'm obsessed. It stabilizes me when my emotions are swirling, because like, healing is going to wreck you. You're going to be up one day, undone the next. You're going to question everything. You're going to grieve parts of you that you've kept alive, and you're going to want to run back to that familiar hell that you outgrew. But something that has never changed, that I've realized will never change, is the word of God. It doesn't change. It doesn't ghost you. It doesn't gaslight your growth. It holds. Isaiah 26:3, he will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are stayed on him. When nothing else feels solid, scripture has been my anchor. It keeps my healing tethered to the truth and not just what's trending, okay? Because if we're going to be real, we're living in a world that calls every coping mechanism a manifestation practice. This is bullshit. You're not manifesting. You're co-creating with a holy God. Okay, you're not journaling affirmations. You are declaring divine promises, because healing without scripture is going to make you more self-aware, but you're not spirit-led. You're not spirit-led, and it's going to make you emotionally fluent, but you will be spiritually starved. Healing with scripture, this is where the resurrection happens. Everything that's going to die inside of you is going to come back to life 10 times more beautiful. We are so incredibly blessed to be able to heal with God, to be able to reconstruct ourselves in a partnership with the creator of the universe. Do you understand how insane that is? You are not healing alone. You are healing under the covenant. I don't think this is really truly wholly possible without God. Every step is guided with him. Every tear is collected with him. Every breakthrough is multiplied with him. And every ounce of pain is being used for glory, because all things work together for the good of those who love God. Not some things, not just pretty things, all of it. Co-creation with God is going to feel like waking up one day and realizing you no longer need external validation. It's I'm saying okay without shame, because you know God is not panicking about your process. He knows exactly where the fuck you are, and he knows exactly where you're going. This is about creating, speaking, and moving, not for approval, but from alignment, letting go of the version of you that kept you alive and letting God build the version that sets people free. This is not self-help. This is resurrection, baby. Stay close to the scripture. while you're healing, because that is the difference between being rebuilt and just rearranging your brokenness. Okay. The fact that we get to do this hand in hand with God, who wrote the story before we fell apart, that's the blessing, that's the miracle, and that's the glow up. All right, bitch, take a breath. Not the shallow kind, the deep soul level inhale through your nose that reminds your nervous system that you're still here and you're still called. Whatever storm it is that you're walking through, I want you to remember this. The meltdown didn't disqualify you. The spiral didn't cancel your purpose. And the sauce, it was never about the sauce. It was about the part of you that's finally safe enough to feel again. So go be messy. Go be holy. Be exactly who God made you to be. Tears, truth, tantrums, and all. Before you guys take off today, I want you to do the holy trifecta. I want you to screenshot this episode and share it in your stories on social media. Tag me at Brandon Lynette so I can hype you up. And then hit the follow button so you never miss an episode that drags you to deliverance. Check out the peace patch in the show notes, please. I love you. Jesus loves you. Your humanity is still holy. I will see you next time.